All right, so this morning we're going to carry on with our The True Perspective series that we've been doing for a while now. And I think we'll probably finish it this what month is this? Well, so shortly. We have a few more of these to go before we switch the topic series. So again, just to remind us, we've been going through the series looking at different areas of the Christian life and how it really, we're looking at the practicality of all these things in our lives and not just from a theoretical basis from the Bible. So we've looked at a few things. And today we're going to look at another area called intercession. Intercession. So I'm just going to walk us through a number of things because I believe that this is, it's quite important that we understand this as well so that we can apply it in our lives individually. We can, so that when we gather as a church and we're praying, we have an understanding of why we pray the way we pray. I think there was one son was saying, I mean, why are you praying every week about the same thing, you know, praying? I mean, can't you just pray and just once and let it be over with? Why do you have to keep having these prayer meetings? Well, those are some of the things that we'll be looking at. So an understanding of what intercession is will help us to know why we pray, why we should pray the way we do, and how we can really apply these principles in our lives. So we'll be looking at five areas today as it pertains to intercession. The first we'll look at is, what is intercession? The second thing is, God is always looking for intercessors. Third thing we'll look at is, why intercession? And why does God need someone to pray for another person? The fourth thing we'll look at is areas where intercession applies. So we'll look at some examples there. And the last thing, if time permits, is how do we intercede effectively? So those are the five areas that we'll be looking at this morning. So what is intercession, if I asked us? Well, I've taken some, dictionary definitions, then I've added one there, you know, my own personal definition. So I got two dictionary definitions here. And the first is, intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of another. That's the first definition. It says it's the action of intervening on behalf of another. The second definition says here that intercession is the act of saying a prayer on behalf of another. So these are the dictionary definitions that I got to describe intercession. And we see that in the first one is saying intervening on behalf of another. The second one says praying on behalf of another. So picking out the main point from those, intercession is you or someone else doing something on behalf of another person, not necessarily for yourself. So that's what intercession is really talking about. Now, I've added my own definition there, just, you know, picking out all these words from here. And what I put here as my own definition of intercession is bringing God's purpose to pass in the life of a person or a place through prayer. Bringing God's purpose to pass in the life of a person or a place through prayer. So that's what my definition, the definition I put together. So again, what we're just saying is that intercession is not focused on you. You can pray for yourself, which is fine. You can pray by yourself to God and God will answer. But when we look at intercession is going outside of yourself and praying for someone else. So the focus is not on you who is doing the prayer. The focus is on another person or a group of people or about something else. So that's what intercession really focuses on. So it's not focusing inward. Now, the second thing is, God is always looking for intercessors. So when we say intercessors, that's saying someone to pray for somebody else. Now, why is that? We'll see in a short. We'll see shortly. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, God is always looking for intercessors. He says, I looked for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. Let's look at Jeremiah 51:20. Jeremiah 51:20. It says, "You are my war club, my weapon for battle. With you I shatter nations. With you I destroy kingdoms." So what we see here is, in the first scripture that we read, God looking for someone, it says here, to stand in the gap, to pray to him about something. He also says here that he will use the intercessor as a battle axe, as a weapon in God's hand. So what this means is this: God is actively looking for people to pray for other people, and he's actively looking for people that will pray out his will concerning a particular situation or concerning a particular situation or what he wants to establish. So we see that God, this is something that is really, really dear to God's heart. Do you understand? So God is always looking for someone to be an intercessor, to pray for someone else and to bring his purposes to pass. So we've looked at that. So the third thing we want to look at is, why intercession? Why does God need someone to pray for someone else? I mean, God is God. Why doesn't he just intervene and do it without any requirement from man? Well, God does that. Sometimes God spoke and the earth was created. So God can do whatever he wants, and he does, without the intervention of man or without the help of man. So we're not saying God needs man to accomplish his purposes, to do what he needs to do. He can do whatever he wants to do. But there's a principle here that we are going to look at in a minute that brings man into the picture to pray for someone else, or brings man into the picture to accomplish the purposes of God. Now, if we look at Psalm 115 verse 16, Psalm 115 verse 16, and that says, Psalm 115 verse 16, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man." Now, this is a very important principle here, and it works both ways. It works with God, and it works with Satan as well. We need to understand that God has placed man on the earth. So the earth belongs to man, while the heavens belong to God. Let me give us an example here. Let's say I have a nephew who is 2 years old or 3 years old, and they're always saying, "Uncle, we want a Christmas toy. I want a tricycle for my birthday." And every time he's asking me, and finally, I give this nephew of mine a tricycle, and they're really, really happy. Now, bearing in mind, I'm the one that's purchased this tricycle with my own money. Now, when I give that tricycle to that three-year-old, even though I'm the one that has purchased it, it becomes theirs. Now, that three-year-old can either ride it carefully, or they can say, "You know what? I think this is going to be a good trampoline." And they get the tricycle, and they start jumping on it. Or they say, "You know what? I want to see if this tricycle can actually float on water." And they take the tricycle. Why are you smiling? Have you guys done that before? They take the tricycle, fling it into River Thames, and say, "Wow, this thing should float." Do you understand? Or they say, "Okay, this tricycle that my uncle has bought for me, I'm not going to look after it. I'm going to leave it out in the rain, in the garden. I'm going to let it be sunbitten," and all that. Now, I might be observing all these things going on, but as a good uncle, not wanting to intruding, the best I'll say is, "You should look after your tricycle. You know, take care of it. But really, you can do whatever you want with it." So if that nephew says, "No, this is what I want to do. I'm going to throw it in water." Well, the same thing. God has created the earth and the heavens, and he has given the earth to man from an authority perspective. So man is responsible for what goes on the earth. So The same principle appears here, that God wants to intervene, but he, because he has given us that earth, he intervenes through man. It's just a principle. I don't know why God has done it that way, but God is very principled. That is what he has set up. The same way that Satan does. Satan understands this as well. And he knows that before he can really do anything on the earth, he needs man. He needs man. Satan will not just appear on the earth and do whatever he wants. He's a spirit. He can manipulate weather and all that. But in order to perpetrate his plans, he needs human beings as well. That's why you have people in cults. You have people in all these things, witchcraft. They're all being used by Satan, because Satan has to follow this principle as well. The same way with God. That's why we have Christians. God follows the same principle as well. Why intercession? So this is what one of the principles of intercession, that God has given us everything that we need. However, there are times that we need to pray for those things to happen. Not because God hasn't given them to us, but because that's just the principle that God has set. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if we look at the other one, another principle. Now, this is my own personal thinking. I've called it the principle of asking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So the first one we said is that God has given the earth to man. The other one is the principle of asking. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So we begin to see something here again, that there is a principle that God has put in place, that for the things that you want from him, you need to ask. You need to ask. The Lord's Prayer says, which is very popular, Our Father who art in heaven, right? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What's the next thing? Then what's the next thing? Give us this day our daily bread. Why do we have to pray that? God knows we need to eat. There's another part in the Bible where God says in Matthew that we should not, when we pray, we should not be praying like the heathens, repetitive prayers, as in, give me this, you know, like hop chanting. He says, why? Because God knows the things that you need before you ask him. Do you understand? So God knows what we need. However, there's a principle in place that says, even though God knows what you need exactly, there are times that you need to ask. Do you understand? There are times that God has given you what he it's just like, for example, maybe you've been paid you've been paid a salary and the salary is in your bank account, or someone has given you a gift and they've put the gift in your bank account and you need to purchase something from down the road, from a shop down the road. That thing is there already. Now, you can say, you can get to Sainsbury's or wherever it is that you shop, and you say to the cashier, the money is in my bank account. I have the money to pay. You know, what's the cashier going to ask you? Pay up, please. Do you understand? So you have that money, but that money is just sitting there. You have to take your card, if you use a card, and make the payment for that thing. Do you understand? So it's the same way God has done so many things for us. Bible says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So all those things are there. But by intercession and by prayer, we cash in on those things. We make those things, we bring those things to play. Now, we need to make a distinction here. When we pray a lot of times for God to do things, we're not praying really for a lot of times for things that God hasn't done already. So for example, in the example I gave about, you know, someone paying money into your account, the money is there already. So you're not saying, God, or you're not telling your employer, please pay my salary, because he's paid it already. What you're doing is you're making use of what has been paid to you already. So a lot of the things that God has done for us, they're there. So it's not as if God is just going to, most of the time, do them. So it's like he has done it. He has deposited these things in our accounts, so to speak. He has deposited things in concerning every single individual in an account. I'm using it allegorically here. So, for example, there's someone that I know, and the person isn't, you know, is going through challenges. And I know that God has said that he will see us through trouble. But for some reason, that person is so tied down, or they're so overwhelmed, and they don't know that. So intercession is me now saying, okay, God, you've done this for this person already. Please make it happen. Do you understand what I mean? And the thing is that it might be that one, the person who is going through that thing is not really aware of what is available to them. You understand? Or even if they are aware, sometimes we just need other people to encourage us. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm just trying to put intercession in the an understandable picture here. That anytime we gather to pray and we're saying, God, the people we have spoken to, talking about outreach, talking about, and we pray those prayers, they're things that God is happy to do. But we're saying, God, let your will concerning this person come to pass. It's something that you have said you have done already. You have paid the price for salvation for every single human being. Now we're praying, let the people understand the salvation that you have made available. On the opposite side as well, we have Satan who understands these things. And what Satan is doing is that you have the person who has the money in the bank account that maybe their employer has given them or a gift, and the money is available for them, and they're practically starving, and they don't know that they have that money in the account to buy the food that they need. Satan, for example, is the culprit that will be telling them, you know what, you don't have any, in fact, you don't even have any account. Which money? There's no money in your account, just forget it. That bank card that you're holding is fake. In fact, if you use it in the shops, you'll be arrested. So what is he doing? He's putting a smoke screen before the eyes of the people that God has done stuff for. He's saying, you know what, God hasn't paid anything for salvation. You can't be saved, you're too bad. God can never forgive you. Meanwhile, God has said that forgiveness is there. So what are we doing here? When we're interceding, we're doing two things. We're a number of things. We're removing the clog of Satan, and we're bringing God's purpose to pass in the life of that person. Do you understand? So that's what we do when we pray. That's what intercession is about. Now, the fourth thing is areas where intercession applies. The first one is that we can pray for God to help someone. So if we look at a scenario here, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 22. It says, Simon, Simon, this was Jesus speaking. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus saw something in the spirit. In those days, the disciples were just having their cool. They were just following Jesus around. If they're hungry, Jesus will feed them. If they needed to pay their tax, Jesus would say, go throw a net, a rod in the ocean, get fish, open its mouth. I mean, so they were just so relaxed. They just knew that, you know, anything Jesus will take care of it. I don't need to bother myself too much. And Jesus said something to Peter here. He said, Satan has desired you, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So we begin to see something there, that there are times that as we're walking in this life, we're not always conscious of what is happening around us sometimes. Do you understand? We're not always conscious for whatever reason. It might be that we're not privy to the information that we need. What intercession does is this. In this kind of situation, Jesus saw what could happen, what was going to happen, and he had already prayed that God let this man's faith not fail when he goes through this particular situation. And Peter actually went through that situation where he denied Christ. And he probably didn't believe that he could ever do it. But Jesus had prayed for him. Do you understand? So what are we saying here? We're saying that we pray for people so that God will help them. Do you understand? So I might be, you know, looking at everybody here and something comes to my mind about someone in this church. Do you understand? What do? I pray that God intervene in the life of this person. Don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. Do you understand? Or it might be somebody else. So we pray in intercession that God will help someone so that their faith will be strong and they will be able to avoid the tricks and the, you know, plans of Satan. Now, the other thing as well is that we pray for the fulfillment of God's purpose in the life of people for salvation. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, it says, this is God. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If we look at Luke chapter 10 verse 2, Luke chapter 10 verse 2, it says, he told them, that is Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. So we see two scriptures here where he's saying that it is God's wish and desire that everybody on the earth should be saved. We now see Jesus, God, here telling his disciples, pray to God, Lord of the harvest, to send harvesters to his vine, to into his harvest. You're now wondering, how come God can't just do that? Well, he has already, but the principle we're seeing here that Jesus told us here, we see in 1 Timothy that we just read now that God says it's his wish that all men should be saved. But here we see Jesus telling his disciples that, you know what, guys, pray that God will send laborers into the harvest, that God will send people who will preach the gospel, including you. So we see this principle as well again of God has done something, but prayer is required. Asking God is required to make that thing happen, even though it is God's wish that that thing happens. The third thing is this. We can pray for God to influence certain organizations and certain structures. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. So we see in this scripture something here. So what we see here is that God is asking us that we should pray for those in authority. We should pray for our government, all those in authority. Why? So that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Now, why doesn't God just do it by himself? The truth of the matter is that he's done it already, but it's still waiting there. So we are the ones that will pray and ask God to do those things. Why? Because God wants us to live peaceful and quiet lives. God doesn't want people to be scattered by war, as we see. I mean, war is such a bad thing. You see people, they bomb their houses, they run up and down. God doesn't want that at all. And the solution that God has put in place for that is this. He says, you pray. It is not the negotiations of the presidents or the government officials that is going to do the job. Well, that's part of it. I can guide them. But you and I, as Christians, he says, we have the responsibility to pray so that these things will turn out in a way that is peaceful. All right. The other thing as well is, how does intercession apply? It applies for spiritual growth. As we study the Bible, as we read, you know, listen to sermons and all that, that's fine. But God still wants us to pray for spiritual growth. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. It says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So again, we see here that God is saying there are things that we need to pray for as well. That spiritual understanding, spiritual growth comes from studying the Bible, praying, but we need to also pray for that. That God, help me to give me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that I may know you better. So intercession helps to pray, well, helps to bring understanding and knowing God better. Do you understand what I mean? Now, I'll look at one more thing, then we'll look at how do we intercede effectively. Now, the other thing as well is, do you know that intercession is required as well, or prayer is required as well, so that when somebody is preaching, the people who are listening can understand? Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, pray for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Why would he be asking people to pray this prayer for him? I mean, he's Apostle Paul. He has seen Jesus. Why is he asking people to pray that when he opens his mouth, he'll be given words and he'll be able to preach the gospel fearlessly? Well, because the gospel is a spiritual thing. It's not like teaching maths or English or geography or one of those things. No, it's a very spiritual thing. And we need to realize that as I'm speaking now, or anytime you're preaching the gospel, there are forces around that are trying to make you not preach it the way you should preach it. Do you understand? And Apostle Paul is saying here, that they should pray for him, that he'll be able to declare the gospel. So these are some of the areas that intercession applies, where intercession is required to sometimes help people. We looked at Peter to help fulfill God's goal in terms of, you know, God wants everybody to be saved, but we still need to pray. Praying to influence situations. He wants us to pray for the government and all these people around that have authority for spiritual growth and the ability to declare God's word. Now, the last thing that we want to look at is this. How do we intercede effectively? So if I said, okay, now let's intercede. A number of things. And God hasn't made it very complicated. He hasn't made it complicated at all. Very simple. So the first thing is, before we intercede or before we pray for someone or even ourselves, we must have faith that when we pray, God will answer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I'll stop there. So this is saying that faith in this matter is nothing complicated. It's saying that when we want to pray, or when you want to pray, you should have it at the back of your mind that, well, not you have it at the back of your mind, you should believe that as you pray, God will answer you. Not because you need to do anything extraordinary, or maybe you have read the Bible 10,000 times. No. The Bible says we should approach God with childlike faith. So what that means is that you know that as I'm praying, or as you pray, God will answer because he said he will. Do you understand? That's the first thing. Now, the second thing is this. When we pray based on the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know what, if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked. It says we ask according to the will of God. So where is the will of God? The will of God is outlined in the Word of God. That is why you realize that anytime we're praying, maybe during our meetings and all that, we always refer to the Word of God. We say, turn to this passage of the scripture, and from there we pray. Because it is on the will of God, it is what God has done already, or what is in God's will that God will do. If it is not within God's will, He won't do it. It's just like someone saying, you know what, I don't like my neighbor, or that there's someone who is troubling me in my office and all that. God, can you just kill that person, please? And you start praying that God should kill that person. God doesn't answer those kind of prayers, because if you look in the Bible, God doesn't say, I will kill all your enemies. No, He says, feed your enemies. So that will be praying amiss. Do you understand? So first thing is having faith in God, that God will answer you and I. And the second thing is praying according to God's word. Two more things when we intercede. Very simple. The third thing is this. When we pray in the name of Jesus. Very important. John chapter 14, verse 13. It says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So the third thing we need to realize is that when we pray in the name of Jesus. We do not pray for Christ's sake. Do you know? We can say, you know, there are some times that one might pray and say, we pray for Christ's sake. No, God didn't say we should pray for Christ's sake. He said we should pray in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? Do you get that? Very simple, that we pray in the name of Jesus. And the last thing is this. When we pray, we believe that God will answer us. We pray based on the word of God. We pray in the name of Jesus. The last thing is that we need to pray from our hearts anytime we're interceding. Now, what does that mean? Can you imagine that maybe you are someone's walking in your garden, and maybe a child is walking in your garden across your front porch, and unknown to that child, there are some builders that are doing some work, and they've opened a little hole in the ground. And that child, you're just out there, you know, looking down, right in front of your house. And you now notice a two-year-old boy, or even a one-year-old boy, who is crawling. Maybe his mom just turned away. And you now see the boy crawling. He's learning to crawl. He's crawling quickly, quickly, quickly. And there's a hole in front. He doesn't know, because he's 1 year old, obviously. And he's about to fall in the hole. Now, what do you do? You that are looking, do you say, hey boy, move away. Grab a cup of water. Move away. Is that how you respond? How do you respond? You respond passionately. You say, hey, you know, in your own mind, what you want to do is like, man, don't let this, you know, you're not casual about it. Like, oh, okay. Move away, you know. No, you don't do that. The same way when we pray, we should not pray casually sometimes in this matter. Not like, okay, just be calm about it. No. God says when we intercede, we should be really engaged with it. Our minds, our hearts should be passionate about it. If we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Even when Jesus prayed, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just pray casually. The Bible says that Jesus prayed loud with, you know, passion. Do you understand? That's why sometimes when we're praying and we're, you know, shouting and we're loud and all that, it's not because we're trying to be just Pentecostal, you know. And someone might say, you know, why are these people shouting? I mean, you can pray silently. Well, you can pray silently. But when we're all praying intercessory prayers, we want to engage our hearts. We want to engage our minds and really pray passionately and not just calmly. Why? Because even Jesus himself did it. Amen. All right, so we're going to stop there today, looking at intercession. And we said, what is intercession? God is always looking for intercessors. Why intercession? And areas where intercession applies, and how do we intercede? So that's where we'll stop today. Let's all rise up together and pray.